We're talking with Bill Sardi, whose company produces something called Longevinex. And I want to emphasize, I'm not trying to endorse this product or telling you it's a cure-all for everything, and neither is he. My interest in it was as a larger story, as an example of the relationships between the supposed regulators and the drug industry that they're supposed to oversee, and the interrelationships of big pharma with doctors and how things work. And it doesn't just apply to Longevinex or resveratrol. It applies to all kinds of drugs that most of you, at least many of you, are taking in your own lives. We will go to the phones with your questions. I know a lot of you have been sending me texts and messages and fast blasts about what kind of natural remedies might work for this ailment or that. I can't answer it, and Bill Sardi is limited in what he can say, but he can point you in the right direction, and we'll get to as many of your calls as we can in this hour. Stay with us. Much more to come on Coast to Coast AM. Bill, let me get your quick take on a couple of things before we go to the phones. Cannabis, does that count as a natural cure for anything?
Well, we all believe in leaves and herbs, and certainly even drinking coffee is herbal. So cannabis has a substance, tetrahydrocannabinol, in it. They want to use it for memory, brain disease, and certainly it can be used for what we frequently hear is the pain from cancer and glaucoma and so on. So that's possible they could make a drug out of that extract from it. And, of course, if you're using cannabis, you're going to be depleting vitamin B12. Short-term memory is going to go. If you're using it as a youngster, your emotional maturity is going to be blocked and stopped at the age you started, and it has some other little side effects. But by and large, you know, people aren't dying of it, and it does have medicinal properties. And for people that are desperate, if you're losing your sight from glaucoma, if you're in terrible pain from cancer, it certainly is an option to be used. And, of course, I don't know how to sort all that out for every individual, but I can tell you, yes, it does work for those conditions.
What do you know about colloidal silver?
Colloidal silver is somewhere we don't want to go until everything else is tried. And the reason is silver and copper and mercury and lead, these are all heavy metals. And they work. Just take some iron filings and put it in a wound, and it'll kill all the germs. But that isn't what we want to do. That what we want to do is use some things like oil of oregano or garlic pills that actually offer a substance called allicin in it. Not a lot of the garlic pills do. But fresh crushed garlic clove would offer allicin. Those are natural antibiotic properties. And that would be good. And then I'd try colloidal silver only in, as a more last-ditch effort to try to quell infections and so on.
Okay, going to the phones. East of the Rockies, Jeremy in Tennessee. Good morning, Jeremy.
How are you, George?
Okay, what's on your mind?
Well, listen, I've got a question about ADHD, and I was just wondering if maybe there are any herbal remedies out there for that.
The question, what's the origin of it? And we frequently see this in young people that are growing up and they're having growth spurts, particularly boys, and they're just frankly anemic. That may not be your condition. You sound like you're an adult, but when you're anemic in a growth spurt, you just need red meat to get iron. You can try iron pills, but they're really problematic. You'll get nauseated and constipated. But for young people with ADHD, I first tell them try to think about anemia and getting some red meat and eat a little more vitamin C as ascorbic acid helps you absorb more iron from your foods if you take it with your meal. ADHD could be from some other conditions as well, and if you email me directly, I can kind of get an idea of like some of the things you've tried and what goes on, and then I can try to help you find a list of some natural remedies that you might want to try. But frequently they're more effective than anything they have, because what we're doing to our school kids and adults is using a stimulant, which becomes really what a street drug is, methamphetamine. So we don't want to give stimulants, as particularly to kids. They can't get to sleep, and we're starting our kids out on drugs, and no more than I would want to give kids coffee and things like that as they're growing up. So
Jeremy, are we talking about you or somebody in your family?
Somebody in my family, my stepson. Yeah. He's currently on clonidine for sleep.
Right. For children, I would say that kids need vitamin B1. It's thiamin. And the vitamin B1, it's blocked by sugar in the diet. It's blocked by alcohol, coffee, and even tea. So it, frequently there's blockers. The sugar is the number one. And vitamin B1 is a potentially a good remedy for ADHD, as well as there are other things that you can use in this. And there's a new type of magnesium out called magnesium threonate, threonate. Wonderful for the brain. It stops what we call excitotoxicity. This is something Russell Blaylock, Dr. Blaylock, talks about. The brain is functioning too fast. So that would be a good thing to look for. So I just kind of give you ideas. And if you want to email me directly at knowledgeofhealth.com, Knowledge of Health, that's a non-commercial website. I can help you with more of your questions.
Thanks, Jeremy. Okay. Appreciate it. West of the Rockies, Ozzy in San Diego. Hi, Ozzy.
Hi, how are you guys? Thanks for taking the call. My question is a little bit maybe complicated, but it all started with panic attacks. I was giving this drug called FXOR for some time, which it didn't really help with any of my panic attacks and anxiety attacks. I was also given another drug by doctors called lorazepam, which is the name in Europe, but in U.S. it's known as Ativan. That also didn't work. These drugs caused me to have extreme amount of palpitations in my heart. I have been hospitalized 16 times, went to ER over 20, probably saw 7-8 different heart doctors, who is continuously shoving beta blocker to me, which is another drug that slows down your heart rate. But the side effects is you could actually get a heart attack taking that drug. My question is, what can I do to stop these palpitations? Evidently, everybody's keep telling me that it's normal, but I never had this problem, and now I do.
Well, let's make a list of just some things as recommendations. Again, for people that are asking for doses, that makes me prescribe. So the best I can do is give you a dosage range. But first thing I would tell you is to use fish oil. Beta blockers slow the heart rate 8 beats per minute. Fish oil does this 6 beats per minute. It doesn't have the side effects. Beta blockers induces asthma, makes you short of coenzyme Q10, something for cell energy, and it has a lot of other side effects, makes you impotent and so on. So fish oil doesn't do that. And it stops irritability in the heart. If you take and give corn oil to dogs, they'll get an irritable heart. And if you give them fish oil, it calms down. The second thing we would think of is magnesium without calcium. And magnesium is a natural calcium blocker, we call it. Calcium constricts muscles. Magnesium relaxes it. That's what you need is muscle relaxation. The heart's a giant muscle. So we would tell you to take 200 to 400 milligram range of magnesium. And, of course, something else that is good for the heart, again, resveratrol would be on the list in a modest dose somewhere between 100 and 200 milligrams. And anxiety frequently comes sometimes from anemia, sometimes from something called tumor necrosis factor being over-inhibited. So I don't know what medicines or herbs you take. But things that might help you there would be inositol, I-N-O-S-I-T-O-L. Inositol by itself, it's a B vitamin class nutrient, and you want to take quite a bit of it, somewhere in the thousands of milligrams, and it frequently takes anxiety away immediately.
Ozzy, I hope that...
So.
I'm sorry, you were saying about the palpitations?
Yeah, the anxiety... It turned into now I don't actually have much anxiety at this point. I have irregular heartbeats, a lot of palpitations. It feels like I'm getting a heart attack, so that's why I'm at a...
These too. If you take herbs and things that over-dilate the blood vessels, it widens them, and then there's not enough blood pressure, so the heart starts to pump wildly to try to catch up. So I don't know what herbal or other things you take, but sometimes that can be an issue. Are there other reasons why there's not response with the tone of your blood vessels to dilate and constrict, and that might be causing some of the issues? Again, you might want to get a hold of me at Knowledge of Health. I can expand those list of suggestions of things for you to try. And it's true, modern medicine doesn't have an answer for you.
Thank you, Ozzie. Appreciate it. Best of luck to you. First-time caller, Chris in Brooklyn. Good morning, Chris.
Hi, gentlemen. I attended a lecture about 3 years ago given by an MIT scientist whose name is Lenny Guarenti, who does research on resveratrol and yes. rodents and related to the sirtuins.
Yes, uh-huh.
You know, how the resveratrol activates the sirtuins and all. Now, he stated at that time, so maybe it's changed by now, but that you would need 1 gram a day of resveratrol to get the proper benefits of it. And he said at that time, he said he was afraid of the over-counter pills because of the contaminants. And he said he didn't even take it because there just wasn't a pure enough product out there.
There aren't contaminants in it, or you couldn't make it under good manufacturing practices unless somebody's violating the rules. The idea was, and this was done without any studies, at Harvard, and they were saying, well, you need to take the amount of resveratrol you'd find in 1,000 bottles of wine or glasses of wine. And so that's because they overdose animals in biological experiments to see if it'll work.
Mm-hmm.
In the short term, they get away with it. If we did that every day, we would become anemic and so on, and there's issues with that, so there's symptoms that show up. And so the doctors really... those were the early days, and they didn't know what they were talking about. And dosing studies have been done since then, and we know that the lower doses do work. And, of course, the trick is, who's done any studies? The Longevinix pill I work with, as an example, has about 10 published studies. There are none for the other pills. So that's all I can tell you. They're all using borrowed science. So it's something that you might consider if you're thinking about this. And of course, we're trying to give you an example. We're not trying to be an advertisement on the air here. We're trying to help you learn how to sort out a good way to take dietary supplements. And of course, make the manufacturer show you the evidence and something that's not just in a lab dish or in an animal. Hopefully it's in humans. And then you can make your decision on the best available evidence. Obviously, some evidence is going to be years away. So for you'll have to make the best decision you can.
Thank you, Chris.
100 to 200 milligrams a day.
Yeah, it's something like that would be right. Huh?
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Appreciate the call. Wildcard line, Chris in Texas. Hi, Chris. Okay, Gary in L.A., I am told. Gary, how you doing?
Yes, just fine. Thank you very much for this program. I'd like to make a statement and then ask a couple of very, very quick questions. One is, I'm 78 years old, and I haven't even had an aspirin since about 1948. I take no drugs whatsoever, and I haven't had a sick day in 64 years.
Okay.
That was one thing. I use, you know, I buy organic foods, and I do use a number of supplements, but I try to investigate and keep tabs on what's what and what's going on and what you really need. And also, I have a couple, over the years, I've had a couple of people check me out spiritually to see what I need in my system. What I was wondering was, the companies that you mentioned, two companies were bought out by pharmaceuticals companies recently. Could you tell us what those are?
Well, Alacer was one, and of course, they make a wonderful vitamin C fizzy drink. You put the little tablet in it, and kids use it. It's a vitamin C supplement, and they sold out. I think the Pfizer bought them.
Oh.
And then the other one, I'm trying to remember, I think it was New Chapter, and they sold to some other drug company. So we have seen a couple of these companies. And, of course, you know, that's certainly a entrepreneur's dream that sell out and make a lot of money, but we are concerned the drug companies are going to turn these into drugs and make them more expensive, and that's why we certainly get concerned.
Can you tell us the name of your company?
The name of the company that I founded in 2004 is called Resveratrol Partners. It goes by the trade name of the product, Longevinix, Longevinex. By the way, I don't want to make this an ad, but I do warn people away there's so many resveratrol products, and a lot of them on the front says resveratrol, and if you are adept and can turn around and understand that supplement facts box, there isn't even a milligram of resveratrol in there. So be careful. I know you want, most people love the science and make a decision based on price. Mm-hmm. So don't take something that it's not going to work at all. I'm trying to warn people away from just choosing on price.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Thanks for the call. The price point becomes interesting in that you've already figured out that why seniors won't buy your stuff.
Yeah, well, our dilemma was not only was the FDA onerous and the doctors probably accused of some greediness, but the patients were a little miserly in the sense of, I understand they're 80 years old, they're on limited incomes, and they're going to go to, you know, one of the big box stores and buy the $10 item because it fits their budget. And then I actually get calls back from them saying they tried my pill and it didn't work. and I understand we're dealing with people here. You know, they're certainly they're a little bit older and they can't see too well and they're frustrated and all that kind of thing. So we're just trying to tell them that the National Institutes of Health themselves studied Longevinix and found it was 6 times more effective in inhibiting these new blood vessels that occur in the back of the eye than regular resveratrol. So you sort it out for yourself. If it works for you at $10, let us all know. But we haven't seen one. You heard a little bit earlier that a little lady tried 8 different resveratrol brands before she found one that worked for her. So, you know, we don't want you to lose your sight while you're hunting around for something. So that's the big problem that we're dealing with here.
On the wildcard line, Reed in Columbus, Ohio. Good morning, Reed.
Good, George. Thank you for the call.
Sure.
My family has been involved in a nutritional products company called Shackley for the last 50 years. And they have recently come out with a product called Vivix. It's V-I-V-I-X. And I read up a little bit on the information on it. Evidently, this form of resveratrol is extracted from the seed of the muscadine grape. And I didn't know if you had any information on it or how it compared to other versions.
Well, one of the things I want to say is Shackley is a good name in the industry, and they have what they say on the label. So they're a good company and reliable. And there are different sources of resveratrol. One is from they can synthetically make it in a fermentation process. That would be a pure form. They can make it from giant knotweed. That's the common form. It's extracted from that as an herb. That's the form we use in Longevinix because the synthetic form, which is near purity, that we believe the FDA is going to declare that a drug because it's so pure and not from a botanical source, a plant source. And then certainly muscadine grape, it's one of the richer natural sources of resveratrol. Eating the grapes is going to give you micrograms, not milligrams, but it's still a very rich source relatively. And that's a nice source if someone will make it as a raw material for dietary supplements. Apparently that's what they have done. And so it's just a source of it. Resveratrol is resveratrol, the molecule shaped in a certain form.
We need to take a break here. I'm sorry to interrupt. I appreciate the call. I hope that answered your question. Much more to come. Many of you on the line with your own questions. We'll get to as many as we can after this with my guest Bill Sardi on Coast to Coast AM. We have one final segment with my guest Bill Sardi coming up. We'll get to as many of your calls as we can right after this on Coast to Coast AM. Going to the phones on the wildcard line, Wayne in Iowa. Thanks for calling, Wayne. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Well, I was just curious, these commercials you see, these new meds coming out, and they have a whole laundry list of side effects that are worse than what you're taking the med for in the first place. Why are they doing that? Why are they allowing those kind of meds out there?
The question was what?
It's
why are they promoting meds that have worse side effects than what you're taking the meds for?
Yeah, well, that's what we want to know. There's actually some researchers in Connecticut that have brought this up. Why are we promoting drugs that are not as good as older drugs that we kind of don't even make or use anymore? And the drug companies stop making drugs that are not patentable anymore. So there is no option but newer drugs that don't work as well as older drugs. And
yeah,
so
I mean,
this becomes something the FDA is not exposing. They don't say anything, and certainly the public pays a price for with their health for this. So the FDA is as derelict as I can paint them. And of course, Congress oversees them. It's their fault, but they're pretty bought off these days. So how do you find your way around this? Stay away from drugs. That's probably the best answer.
Yeah, it just seems like some of these side effects are the same thing you're taking the med to get rid of.
Right, that's exactly right. Well, let's take a look at heartburn medicines. They're frequently used. They, they're antacids. They are working by inhibiting histamine. You can go to the health food store and get something called quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N. It's derived from red apple skin or red onions. And quercetin is a natural antihistamine, but the one that they sell, if you try to go off that acid blocker, it'll have a rebound heartburn. You can't ever get off the drug. They design it that
way.
So, darn them. Yeah. You know, this is the kind of thing you get wrapped into.
Yeah, I just want to say I love your show, and thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
Thanks, Wayne. Yeah, he raised a good point. You see all these new drugs rolled out in these big ads. It'll be a minute ad, and there'll be 20 seconds of what its benefits are supposed to be and 40 seconds of disclaimers of all the side effects.
Yeah, it's a real problem, and, of course, it's in small print, and a lot of the doctors, you know, it's what they make money doing. You know, someone once told me a doctor going into internal medicine, his goal is to get 500 people on blood pressure drugs, and then he's made it, he can make a living, and then they have to keep coming back for checks and re-prescriptions, and that's how you make a living as an internal medicine specialist. So you can see what the incentive there is. Is it in your best health? Probably not.
There's got to be good doctors out there who
are
bothered by this.
There are plenty of good doctors. A lot of them are leading the charge with this vitamin D revolution that's going on. Dr. John Cannell with the Vitamin D Council, and a lot of doctors prescribing vitamin D now because that vitamin is showing a lot of good science, and shame on the supplement companies for not sponsoring good science to show their products actually work better. So it's important to do that.
East of the Rockies, Bob in New Jersey. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Bill and George. Thank you for taking my call. I've had Lyme disease for about 25 years. It went undiagnosed for a while to the point where I had neurological, cardiac, and brain problems, debilitating exhaustion. I've been on intravenous drugs several times at one point for 6 months. They tested me, and I still had live bacteria in my system after that course of treatment. Is there anything natural, and can you tell me what doses?
The best recommendation I can make, Lyme is an odd bacterium. It is the only one that grows without iron, okay? And we don't know why. It seems to be maybe a manufactured thing. I don't know what it is. But it seems like something called allicin, the active ingredient when you crush a garlic clove, seems to work. Garlic pills, most of them don't provide allicin, another embarrassing point for the dietary supplement industry. There's a couple of brands that do have what we call buffered garlic, and then it works. The stomach acid doesn't destroy. The allicin is the active ingredient, which is the antibiotic part of it. And you can email me at Knowledge of Health. I can tell you a couple of brands that you can try that do have the allicin in it. But you can get it also from a natural garlic clove. Crush it and then take it. But it's pretty pungent that way, so you might want to try a pill, and that's the best I can recommend. And by the way, I've had wonderful results reported back using garlic, so I would try it.
Thank you, Bob. West of the Rockies, John in Fairfax, California. Good morning, John.
Hi. Yes, I have a question for your guest. I'm wondering if he could possibly suggest anything to someone in my situation, which is for probably about the last 8 years, I've been drinking about between one and two bottles of wine every day. And when I stop drinking for a couple of days, I still just don't feel good. I feel really unbalanced and unhealthy. And at one point, I went through a recovery program, and during that time, I was given a drug called gabapentin,
mm-hmm.
which, from what I understand, is usually used to treat schizophrenia. But the doctor thought that it could help with the cravings of addiction. But what I'm more concerned about is, can you recommend any supplements that could maybe help balance my system out to getting back to a healthy state from all these years of...
Yes, for everyone that's having, listen in, for a family member, someone you love, because natural medicine has a new answer to this problem of alcohol addiction and the hangover symptoms and so on, and that is they found a certain cell receptor in the brain and that's sensitive to this, and it's called the GABA-A receptor. So that receptor can be blocked with a natural remedy. It's a natural molecule found in grapes and some other plants, and it's extracted out. A wonderful company, I'm not plugging them because they're not on the market with this yet, but Blue California in California, it's called Blue California. They have a wonderful new remedy, and it actually blocks that receptor. And if you can find them on the internet, they might be able to get you a sample or something, because they are coming out. But it's already tested at UCLA, and it's a wonderful natural remedy that blocks the receptor that alcohol works on, and potentially it could be, it did work in animals, has worked on a small group of humans, and could be the answer to alcohol addiction and certainly for the hangover symptoms. And I'd say that you should try it. And
Blue California?
Yeah, Blue California is the name of the company. They're in Santa Margarita, California. I would try to use the internet to try to find them and where you can get their product when it comes out.
Great. Thank you very much. I'll look into that.
Good luck with that, John. Does the same product then work for other kinds of addictive substances?
Yes, it does. It works for opioids, and we think that same molecule is going to be an answer for obesity, because it uses the same receptor to reward us when we eat, and it could be an answer for that as well. And again, nature has all of these wonderful things. So we just happen to be privy to this science. We've seen the study, and I can direct people to the animal study. If they get a hold of me at Knowledge of Health, I'll send them the copy of the study.
First-time caller John in Pueblo, Colorado. Hi, John.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for taking my calls.
Sure thing. What's on your mind?
I have been in radiology and in healthcare since 1995, and I'm about as disgusted as anyone else, and I see this every day with my own eyes, how Western medicine treats our patients. And I have autoimmune disease of my own that I've been dealing with. If I can give a brief history real quick, I was born with a left leg congenital defect. My left leg was 3 inches shorter than my right. My first surgery they had to actually reconstruct my heel cord, and it was when I was 7 days old. In between that time of being 7 days old and maybe up until the time I was in eighth grade, I must have had about maybe... I'd say anywhere from 8 to 10 major operations at the Houston Shriners Hospital in Texas. Basically, I had a bunch of general anesthesias, morphine pumps, yada, yada, yada. I basically finally got my leg back to where it was just a little less than an inch short. Thought I was home free, done with all the surgeries. And then when I turned 17 years old in high school, I woke up one morning and I noticed I had jaundice in my eyes. And they tested me for every, you know, hep A, B, C, every hep you could think of, and I tested negative for them. They did a CT on me. I had a couple of spots on my liver, and what they finally ended up diagnosing me with was chronic autoimmune hepatitis. So basically my own immune system thinks that my liver is not supposed to be in my body. So I have been, since the age of 17, I'm 40 now, I've been on an immunosuppressor, which is Imuran.
Mm-hmm.
When I get my flare-ups, they put me back on, you know, on a varying degree dose of prednisone.
Mm-hmm.
I have already gotten osteoporosis, mm-hmm. severe osteoporosis from the prednisone. But I don't really have much of a side effect that I'm noticing on the Imuran from being on it for such a long time and long term, but I just wanted to see if there was any routes, if I could email you at knowledgeofhealth.com, where you could show me some healthy
stuff. And for the
stuff.
Audience at large with autoimmune disease, the doctors are thinking that vitamin D is the answer for a lot of this, and the reason being is that vitamin D, they're using it for in place of steroids for autoimmune rejection, like organ rejection when they do organ transplants, and it's working well for that, and then they wouldn't have to use the steroids. So we think it's a big answer is to start learning and using vitamin D, go to the Vitamin D Council website, learn more about it. I'd certainly use some fish oil and so on. I would stay away from milk and dairy products. It has a bacterium, a good percentage of the milk cartons in the United States. Unclean food, this goes pox on the FDA again here. They're allowing an unclean food to get to market, and there is a germ in milk cartons called paratuberculosis. It's a hidden stealth bacterium, can induce autoimmune disease. So I make everyone aware, if you have autoimmune disease, stay away from dairy products. Even if they're pasteurized, it doesn't kill that bug. So be careful.
And also, Bill, I'd like to also tell you, I'm going to send you some info at knowledgeofhealth.com. I do research studies with the National Institute of Health with MRI studies myself. And I work with a doctor out in Arkansas, and he's trying to basically, he's a radiologist, and we're trying to put together a college called the College of Integrative Medicine.
Well, wonderful.
So where we're not trying, I'd like to try to maybe get you guys to talking, because I really would think that you guys would make a big deal out of it. And we're actually doing a study right now with NASA. We're studying the effects. These astronauts are coming back with complaining of blurred vision.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing studies pre and post missions of their cerebral spinal fluid flow in the brains right now. But I think you guys would have so much things to talk about. We're involved in the PRP injections. We're having great luck with that. And we're also, I'm involved with Dr. Chris Centeno in Denver, Colorado, trying to get a push for the government to allow us to do stem cell injections.
Okay, wonderful. By the way, for everyone listening, I am one of the few health journalists that takes emails and phone calls. So if you can get a hold of me, I will try and help you and steer you in the right direction. I can see I'm going to have a few hundred inquiries tomorrow. But
yeah, you're going to have a pile. Thanks, John.
We try to be responsive and helpful to everyone, and it's just something I do to give back. So hopefully, just be persistent. Try to get a hold of me.
Thank you, John, for the call. Wildcard line, Robert in San Jose. Hi, Robert. Robert, are you there? Hello? All right, we're going to have to move on. Jack in Chicago?
Hello?
Hey, Jack. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I went to the Health Expo with George, you know, when he was in Chicago area, and I've been taking Cipro. Now, I had a catheter, and I had to take an antibiotic, and I was taking something else before, and I had no problems. But when I went to the major hospital, it's in the Chicago area in Park Ridge. It's LGH. It's the emergency room hospital for the O'Hare Airport and stuff. They gave me Cipro. Now, Cipro, it started, my arm started shaking. I used to ride a bicycle like 200 miles a week, and I'm down to just going a couple of times around the block, and I'm all tired and pooped out from taking the Cipro. So I ended up going to the last hospital. I'd gone to three other hospitals. The last one I went to was Northwestern, and she gave me Carpadova, and she gave me PRAMIPEXOLE, and that's kind of stopping my arm from shaking, but I still can't ride the bike. You know, I get all woozy and stuff. And also, could you do a show on nursing homes? Because they overpill the people over there, and they killed my mom in the nursing home in Morton Grove.
Yeah, that antibiotic is problematic. And the antidote to some of its problems, you want to take some glutathione. It's oral glutathione. And then you want to take some magnesium, help relax the muscles and so on. It's an antidote to the problem you're experiencing. And then I can talk with you more on email, trying to coach you through that a little bit.
Well, I went to the Health Expo, and they told me to take magnesium, and I started doing that because my one doctor told me, you know, my Euro doctor, he says, well, start taking magnesium, and it hasn't helped much. But I thank you very much.
You're probably taking the wrong form. So magnesium oxide is the cheap form sold in health food stores, almost worthless. 4% of it's absorbed, 96% useless.
Okay, but this is what the doctor gave me.
I know, I'm aware, so it's probably the oxide form. Get a hold of me, and I'll try and help you.
Okay. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you very much for your time.
All right, John in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Good morning, John.
Good morning. I have about three questions. One, does the body start to make hyaluronic acid once you start taking it?
Once, we didn't know this 10 years ago. I flew to Japan on a wonderful study, wrote a book called How to live 100 years without growing old. The story was about hyaluronic acid, a cushioning molecule that the body makes. It's like, you know, it's a jello in the body is what I want to say. And
well,
so that jello cushions
it,
nerves and so on. If you take oral hyaluronic acid and you inject it in the body or you take it orally, it will stimulate cells called fibroblasts to make more of it. You need just a little bit, and it makes that. It's great for joint problems and pain and so on. I've had people throw away their morphine and their codeine and all that stuff just by taking it. Cushions the nerves, and then you don't have the pain anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and one other thing, I have some scar tissue in my fascia from a foot injury.
Uh-huh.
And you mentioned that chondroitin might reduce that.
Chondroitin is a precursor to making hyaluronic acid. I just try hyaluronic acid. It's available in health food stores. I've become infamous. I'm a spokesperson for one company on the radio talking about that for the last 10 years. So
yeah, I take it.
There's a lot of good products out there, and you can try them.
Okay, one other thing, NADOK.
Nattokinase is an enzyme. It comes from the natto cheese, from soy. It's a source of vitamin K, but the bigger thing is it breaks up blood clots and in lowers inflammation, so it's a good thing to use.
John, thank you for the calls. We have 1 minute left, Bill. I just wanted to get a general statement from you about how likely is it that the FDA will approve some sort of a study of Longevinex, and what can regular people do to encourage some sort of change? It's almost like you know, a hopeless cause to try to get Congress to crack down on Big Pharma.
It's very unlikely. We're running a gauntlet, and we're happy to run into a stone wall. It's fine. The issue of dietary supplements is so big, the public sent more cards and letters in 1994 than over any issue, more than gun issues or anything else that have gotten in the public arena. So the reason for coming on tonight, of course, is to build the groundswell, help people hear the truth, and try and pressure, because they know these guys want to get elected, and they're going to have to push aside the dollars their hand gets placed in their hand and all these things, and the Congress has got to fix this thing.
Bill Sardi, best of luck with the FDA petition,
and
I know I'll be talking to you some more.
Thank you.
And, you know, you're up against a lot.
We are. We're a small company. We're trying this on behalf of so many people who, of course, have no hope, and so we're trying to do this, and it's going to be a real struggle, but, well, let's see. I think the American people will respond here, and you have a wonderful audience, so thank you.
Thanks very much, and knowledgeofhealth.com is a way to get a hold of Bill if you have some questions for him, and he will try to respond to all of them. Thank you all for joining us tonight. Thanks to Nathan and Gina and all the folks at Premier, and I'll be back next Sunday night. Good night, everyone.